Hey, greetings. This is Brother James, JoePerish.com, John 424 Radio. Hey, coming to you to bring you more Matthew verse-by-verse study. Today we are working on Matthew chapter 15. We left off at verse 9. We're going to pick up at verse 10. Been having a glorious day of lots of discipleship, lots of witnessing, getting ready to go street preaching. Also trying to keep up on my verse-by-verse studies and my teachings to edify the saints we know all over the world. Let's get right at Matthew 15, verse 10. You can catch up at don'tperish.com. Click on the verse-by-verse tab. Get caught up and then follow along with us. Verse 10. And he called the multitude, and he said unto them, hear and understand. All right, I like what this verse, the meaning of it, the intent of it, so clear and plain. I appreciate Jesus' words as he speaks to the multitude. Remember, that could be 5,000 people or more. That's who's going to be in heaven, we know. Revelation uses the same word, multitude, as Jesus feeding people and healing people. And here he says, hear and understand. Now, how many people do you know in your life, around you, they hear, but they lack understanding in the word and eternal truth of God? Yeah, that's a big problem. A lot of people hear you speak the word of God. When I street preach, oh, thousands hear, but very few understand. That word understand, sanami, means this: to put together, to comprehend. This is what's required when it comes to the proclamation of God's word going out, whether it's Jesus, a prophet, or a plain old street preacher like me. People must hear it and then comprehend. You know what? That works for us as well. We got to hear God's word and then we got to comprehend it. Praise God, we have the Spirit, if we're born of Him, that teaches us the word of God. Verse 11. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Okay, so this is in context to the Pharisees saying that the disciples aren't washing their hands. A man-made tradition. Jesus already dealt with that. And what Jesus is doing here is he's cutting across the grain of their Torah ways understanding. What Israel and the Pharisees knew. See, they had many food laws, many food restrictions. One example, like a Leviticus 11:10, talked about the creatures in the water that they could eat and not eat. They can eat fish with scales. They can't eat fish without scales. So this was causing issues for the Pharisees. But what I want to say here, and I'm going to prove it at the end of this section of teaching, Jesus was not going against Torah law. No, he was a Torah compliant Jew, keeping it perfectly. We're going to see what Jesus was talking about. He wasn't going against Torah. And the Pharisees had a lack of understanding. Jesus is raising the bar of deep truth. And everything that Torah was pointing to, ultimately his whole life was an archetype, a shadow. The old law was the schoolmaster to get us to Christ. Let's talk about this. The word defiled, it means, it's in the Greek, it's koinou, to pollute or profane. All right? And again, I'm going to show you that Jesus was not teaching them, you can eat anything you want as a Torah-compliant Jew and not be defiled. That's not what he was saying. In context, we'll see exactly what he was meaning. Many things in the Old Testament defiled the Jews per Torah, 613 some laws. But Jesus came to show the deeper meaning, ultimately to show the kingdom of God had come, and he was about to fulfill that Torah law. The issue here is a deeper issue. It's the heart issue, and we're going to get to that. Oh, verse 12, I just lost my place. Hold on here. My phone just went crazy. I do this off my phone, and I have my notes and the scriptures on my phone. All right, verse 12. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Yeah, I like this. So Jesus, in his usual way, is offensive to the religious leaders of his day. Yeah. You know, I'm often told that I'm offensive to modern pastors, churchgoers that defend their pew system and their churchianity. And they say, you're offensive with what you say. And I'm absolutely fine with that. You know why? I preach the biblical gospel. I call out sin and righteousness. I talk about the goodness and severity of God. I warn them about hell and encourage them to come to seek the kingdom and enter heaven when they die. They're offended by that. Why? Because it's the full counsel of God's word, and they only want the milquetoast, sugary candy stuff that makes them feel good. Like, God loves you no matter what. I'm perfectly okay that my words are offensive to today's people. Jesus and Paul and Peter were offensive. That word, we've covered this before, offense, is scandalizo. It's where we get the word scandal from. It means to cause, to stumble, or entice to sin. Well, we're going to show you Jesus was not causing the Jews and the Israelites to sin. It's their lack of understanding. We'll get to that as we read on. He wasn't breaking Torah law, as many people say. Verse 13, but he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. All right, so this kind of goes back to the parable of the sower that we studied about earlier in Matthew, remember? That we're rooted in God, and he used the parable about the seeds going in the soil, and some fell on the ground, and the birds and Satan stole them away. Others fell on rocky ground. Others fell and were choked out among the thorns, and some fell on the good soil. So Jesus is saying those that don't have the deep roots in the good soil, connected to the vine, Jesus, John 15, those that are not those people, they're going to be uprooted. And there's going to be, we talked about this in the earlier Matthew studies, there's going to be a great harvest one day. The angels are going to come and reap. Revelation talks about that. And there's going to be a great harvest, and the wheat's going to be harvested. Those are God's people, and the tares and the chaff are going to be harvested up too. The harvesting is going to be mostly tares, not true people of God. We know Jesus said few. Either one's going to make it to glory or to wrath. Which one are you going to make it? Into the kingdom of God, or are you going to make it into his wrath because of your rebellion? You're either of the kingdom of God or you're of the kingdom of Satan. There's only two kingdoms. Churchianity is of the kingdom of Satan. Christ came to show us the kingdom of God. Hope you can hear it. I'm out in the streets over all these noisy cars. Verse 14, he said, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. All right. So once again, we see Jesus with his harsh words. He's not a kind milk toast. He was kind, but he was truthful, and he was biting, and he was harsh at times, and he said hard things. He's saying those who won't see, the blind, they have eyes, but they can't see, and they have ears, they can't hear, and their false teachers are leading them around, and they're all going to go in a ditch because they don't have eyes to see and ears to hear. They're not of God. They won't yield like the stubborn Israelites, stiff-necked, like rebellious people today. And Jesus said, let the blind lead the blind. He knew who they were, and he said they're going to reap what they sow, right? That's exactly what the Word of God says. A harsh but truthful way Jesus always had. We must heed that ourselves. Consider that. It's loving to speak harsh warnings and truth. It's not loving to make everybody feel good as they go to hell in their sin and their heresy. Verse 15 and 16. Then Peter said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? All right. Again, Peter asked for Jesus to explain the parable. And Jesus again gives a rebuke-like answer. All right. He's not the soft man-pleaser, always saying soft, easy things. No, he uses stern words and harsh truth to correct and rebuke when needed. We should be that way. I want rebuke and correction. I don't want somebody to tell me how nice I am and not tell me my error and my sin. I want them to tell me my error and my sin and help me get out of it. And yeah, it'd be great once I do if they encourage me. Paul encouraged people for their obedience. But I don't need fancy, kind, soft-spoken, flowery words. What I need is the truth of God that cuts me and teaches me the way of righteousness. Verse 17. Do ye not yet understand that whatsoever entereth in the mouth goeth into the belly is cast out into the draught? All right. So again, he says, do you not understand? It's like a call out. Don't you get it yet, guys? Right? Jesus is talking about the natural digestive system God ordained in mankind. draught, that word is ephedrobe. Ephedrobe, it's a toilet. We all know what that function's about, right? We don't have to talk about that. And what he's saying is in context that what you eat, and in context, it's talking about dirty hands here, could never defile you. He's not saying that the Israelites of that day should go out and eat all the unclean foods right at that time. No. In context, he's talking about dirty hands. We're going to see it at the end of this. Jesus always upheld Torah law. He was perfect. He didn't sin. He didn't break one jot or tittle of Torah until all was fulfilled. Don't listen to people that say he changed the food laws here. The food laws changed later, but they did not change right here. Verse 18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, they defile the man. All right? So Jesus then takes the lesson to the real meaning of the matter. He goes to the heart. The literal matter of this issue is the heart. Everything about the true faith and salvation and Christ and serving God, knowing God, is in the end about our heart. We have to repent by faith in Christ and get a new heart. John 3:3, be born from above. Then we live and obey out of our new heart because we desire to please God. We don't do dead works to be saved. That's ridiculous. We could never earn our way to salvation. We need Christ's perfect righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21. But if we don't obey, it's fruit that we have either not repented to do life, we're not made new, or we're rebellious in sin. Either way, it's sinful. And we are not going to be cleansed by Christ as we live in willful sin. Hebrews 10:26 teaches that. Churchianity over and over does dead works, but a new heart alive in Christ by the Spirit is full of godly fruit and obedience, and it's all a work of the Father in us as we put our will in unison working with Him. That's what the blood covenant is. God did His part, we must do our part. Amen. Amen. Verse 19. For out of the heart proceeded evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. All right. So Jesus gives us a list of the kind of evil that comes out of a man's heart. He's comparing it to like what you eat compared to the sin that comes out of your heart. Yeah, we can all get that, right? In Mark 7, which is the companion verse to this, he also lists all those really heinous sins, but then he lists sins like foolishness and pride. Yeah, he puts those right up there, foolishness and pride, as sin coming out of the heart. So his point is, the main point, if you talk sinful, if you act sinful, and you do sinful things, it's coming out of your heart. Not coming out of your hands, not coming out of your lips, it's coming out of your heart. And that's the issue with man. Man has a sinful heart. Jeremiah says it's deceitfully wicked. Man needs a new heart. The gospel, glory to God, changes everything when God transforms us, turns our heart of stone to fleshy heart by His Spirit. Without it, you and I have no hope. And this goes a long way to show us that all this issue that Jesus is talking about is a heart issue, and everything that proceeds out of the Christian faith must come from the heart. So what proceeds out of our heart? The abundance, right? Out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart does speak, Jesus once said. Without a transformed new heart, born again by God, you have no hope. This goes right along with Matthew 7, where Jesus says, you will know them by their fruit. Matthew chapter 7. Amen? It's all about the heart, folks. All about the heart. How is your heart for God? Is it transformed? Is it desiring holiness and obedience? Is it enduring in the faith? Is it loving God with all that you are? Or does it love the world, which is outside of God's love? Does it love the flesh, which is outside of God's love? Does it love false ways, which is outside of God's love? Yeah, God's love is perfect. It's in the truth. It's in the light. If you have a new heart from Christ, you will love the truth and you'll walk in the Spirit. Verse 20. These are the things which defileth a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. There you go. After listing all those sins that defile a man, Jesus proves my point. He wasn't saying you could go eat pork and shrimp as a Torah-keeping Jew. No. He was saying germy hands, dirty hands, in this context, don't defile you. The Pharisees were saying, you got to wash your hands or you're defiled. Jesus is saying, that doesn't defile you. Right? See that in context? Very, very important. Later in the New Testament, we do see that the food laws fade after Christ did his finished work. The schoolmaster was the law. It had come. And it had to go fade away because Christ had come. He was greater. Paul said the old had to go away so the new could come. Torah law was removed out of the way. And from this area of scripture, we see that it isn't about the food as much. It's all about the heart of the person. This is the real issue in salvation and knowing God. Not church attendance, not reading your Bible, not trying to be moral in your own dead works, but it's all about the heart. Do you get that, saints and seekers? Go before God and ask Him, be contrite. Ask Him for a new heart. Ask Him for the Spirit of Him within you. Then this will change your desires, change your wants, change what you do, change how you live, change how you dress, change how you act, change who you associate with, change how you spend your money, change what you preach, change how you see the world, change how you see your husband, wife, your children, your relatives. You see what I'm saying? The heart changes everything, and it gets you set for the kingdom of God that's coming. When you see people around you, whether they're churchgoers or not churchgoers, their real issue is not that they don't believe all the doctrines right. Oh, that's part of the issue. But the core issue is they do not have a transformed heart to even then begin to obey by the Spirit, the Word, and the ways of God. They've got to have the desire to obey God, and that comes from the transformed heart. Psalm 51:17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, Thou will not despise. I love that. Is your heart contrite for God? That's a daily thing. We walk in it. We turn and repent from all sin. We're always trying to cleanse ourselves, purify our hearts, walk with a clean conscience before God. He's such a gracious, merciful, loving Savior. Gives us the Word, gives us the Spirit, gives us faith, gives us grace, gives us repentance. How can anyone say we're trying to work our way to heaven when all this is of the Father, and the one thing that He requires that we do is by faith we turn our will towards Him and work in unison with Him. That's what we need to do, and that's what a transformed heart does. It serves Christ with all that you are, not in religion, not in dead works, not being of the world, not being in pride and lifted up, being a lowly, meek, humble servant of God, with a heart that desires to know Him more, and lift Him up and share that truth with other people. Hey, we're going to leave it right there. We'll pick up next time at the next verses in Matthew 15. Let's see, we're going to pick up at verse, is it 21? Let's see. Yep, we're going to pick up at verse 21 next time. I really appreciate you listening in. I hope these are a blessing to you. Check out don'tperish.com. All kinds of material there for you, for free. Jesus said freely was given, freely you should give. Tomorrow we go out street preaching with a new brother. Can't wait. We love to lift up Christ in the streets. We love to see people get transformed hearts. We've been seeing people come to the faith. God's moving in small numbers, few people. And God's gospel is going out to thousands. And we never know what's going on behind the scenes. So I hope that's been edifying. I got to go rest my voice. Get ready for tomorrow. Get some more teachings up. We love you all. Let us know how we can help you in faith. Till next time, go out and have a glorious evening. May God be praised.